Today, you're going to learn how to add sizzle to your marriage. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We are in a series on the family, and we are talking about family matters. And the families today are under attack. Severe attack from the evil one, and marriages are under severe attack. I want to talk to you today about marriages that are on fire with passion and love and excitement. Marriages that sizzle.
When couples first get married, they envision a marriage that sizzles. I mean, a marriage that's on fire with passion and love and excitement. But is that realistic? Is it really possible to have a marriage like that? Well, of course it is. And if your marriage is lacking, today you'll learn the secret to adding sizzle to your life. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and thank you for joining us today. And if you're married, you picked a great day to do it. The lesson is called Marriages That Sizzle. It's from Pastor Jeff's six-message series, Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles families face? Now, if you miss any of these broadcasts on family that we're having all this month, be sure to go to fromhisheart.org to listen to the ones you missed and download a free MP3 of any broadcast, as well as the sermon notes from Pastor Jeff. Right now, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to describe to us how to have a marriage that sizzles.
I heard a story about a couple. They had been married for 15 years or so, and they were watching television one Saturday afternoon. And then the man said to his wife, he said, "Well, I'm going to go out and water in the yard." And so he was gone for the longest time, and she started to get kind of concerned because he was gone. So she went out to the front yard. He wasn't there. She went to the backyard. He wasn't there. She looked in the garage. He hadn't taken his car. And she started to call some friends. "Have you seen my husband? I don't know where he is. He's been hours. He was just going to go out and water for a few minutes." And they said, "No, we haven't seen him." She called several ones, and she went up and down the street. She didn't see him. She was getting worried. One of her friends said, "Well, you know, maybe something happened to him. Maybe we need to go to the police and file a missing persons report." And so she said, "Okay, let's do it." And so they went down to the police station, and she was filing a missing persons, and the police officer said, "Well, ma'am, describe your husband to me." She said, "Oh, my husband, well, he's about 6'4", weighs 225 pounds, has a 48-inch chest and a 34-inch waist. He has beautiful black wavy hair. He is so handsome, so charming. He is sweet to me. He's sweet to the kids. He's sweet to the dog. Everyone loves him in the neighborhood." And her neighbor friend was looking at her, and she pulls her over to the side, and she said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Your husband's fat and bald. He's got a 34-inch chest and a 48-inch waist. He's not charming. He's not handsome. He's mean to you. He's mean to the kids. He kicks the dog. And everyone in the neighborhood can't stand him." She said, "Oh, I know. But who wants him back?" I think it's safe to say their marriage wasn't sizzling. That describes a lot of marriages in America. It describes a lot in the church. Who wants him back? Who wants her back? Now, I have noticed as a pastor when I counsel people who are wanting to get married, people who are wanting to get married who say, "Pastor, will you marry us when we meet?" They are so in love. They're so excited. And it's hard to talk to them because they just got this dopey look on their face, you know. They're so in love. And they just have visions of a marriage that sizzles, of a marriage that on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 10 plus. And they have that vision and they have that excitement. And at the altar, they're there, and they're thinking 10, 10. They're at the altar. I know my marriage is going to be a 10. It's going to sizzle. But as Florence Littauer wrote in her book, after every wedding comes the marriage. And you follow these same folks that were so goo-goo-eyed for each other before they got married, and then afterward, it's like, "Hey, you know, I thought 10. I was thinking sizzle marriage, and now I'd be happy with an 8. And they married a little longer, and they'd go for a 6. I mean, a 6 would be good because their marriage just starts to drop. And drop and drop. Hey, Is it a pipe dream to think that your marriage could be a 10? Is that just something that happens in a Hollywood movie? Does it just happen in You've Got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle or some type of show like that, Sabrina? I mean, is that, you watch those kind of movies, women watch them a lot, and the men say, I would never watch that, and then they're weeping at the end of it. You know, those kind of things. And you watch it and you think, wow, there's just so much romance, so much passion, so much electricity. Those kind of relationships just sizzle, but you say, mine's not like that. I mean, is it possible to have a marriage like that? Yes. It is possible to have a marriage that's a 10, that's off the charts, that sizzles. And God tells us how to do it. He tells us in the very second chapter of the Bible, the very first marriage between a man named Adam and his wife Eve. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2, and I'll begin reading in verse 15. The scripture says this, God had made man, he formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then the Bible says this, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden, to cultivate it and to keep it. He had a job. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat from it you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, watch this, it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, that's interesting. You read in chapter 1, God is saying, it is good, it is good. Every day after creation, it is good, it is good, it is good. But now, on day 6, he says, Adam, he sees him alone there. He says, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him, corresponding to him, a helper. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. Now, isn't it strange? God says, I'm going to make you a helper. But before God does that, he says, it's not good for you to be alone. And before he makes him a helper, he has Adam name all the animals. And I think one of the reasons God had him do that was because God wanted to create a desire in Adam for someone like him that was a little different from him, but that was corresponding to him. See, he saw that when he named Mr. Giraffe, there was Mrs. Giraffe. And he named Mr. Lion, and there was Mrs. Lion. There was one corresponding, a little different, but so much the same. Mr. Hippopotamus had Mrs. Hippopotamus, and he said, there's none for me. And God was creating that desire in him. And verse 21 says, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That's what Adam said. You know, if Adam were speaking in the vernacular of today, you know what he would have said? At last. Boy, Lord, this is the one. This is what I was looking for. She is so much like me, but she's different from me. Wow. How cool is that? That's what he said, basically, there. It's the Hebrew expletive. How cool is that? He was so excited. And then the scripture says this. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, the first marriage was filled with passion, was filled with excitement, was filled with gratitude, was filled with love and joy. And that's what God wants for your marriage. And for you who are not married, who one day desire to be married, that's what God wants for your marriage yet to be. He wants you to have a marriage that sizzles. How do you get it? I mean, most of us would say, hey, sign me up. I want a marriage like that. How do we get it? The key to having a marriage like that is in verse 24. And if you'll notice as we go through this verse, verse 24, the command that God gives for the marriage to sizzle is primarily to the man. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I am convinced that a man holds his marriage in the palm of his hand. The woman does not hold the marriage in the palm of her hand. The man can do more to make that marriage work than the woman can. Because it's by nature, by design, that the woman wants that relationship to work. And she can't make it work if he doesn't want it to work. But he can make it work. Because God made a woman to be a responder. And if he does the things God tells him to do, his marriage will be on fire, be filled with passion and love. So what do you have to do to have a marriage that sizzles? Three steps, three actions that you need to take, primarily to the man, but it applies to both. Action number one, obey the command to leave. Man shall leave his father and mother. That word leave means to forsake. It means to let loose. It means to let go. It means to free yourself of. Leave your father and mother. Now, he's not talking primarily about geography. He's not saying, hey, you got to move away to a different town. You got to leave your father and mother. He's not talking so much about that. He's talking about primarily about cutting two strings. You want to leave your father and mother, you have to cut two strings. The first string you have to cut is the financial string. You have to cut the purse string. You have to leave your father and mother financially. You can't be dependent upon them financially. You have to cut that. See, if you're dependent upon your parents financially, then you've never really grown up. You've never really gotten out of the nest. You're still looking to them to pay all your bills, to meet all your needs. You're not ready to get married. You haven't left your father and your mother. See, the financial string deals with authority. I had a friend of mine when I was in the business world. He used to tell me this. He said, well, Jeff, you know the golden rule, don't you? I said, what's the golden rule? He said, he who has the gold makes the rules. And that's true. It's true in a business, in an organization. I worked for a privately held company at that time. And the guys that had the gold, they wrote your checks. They made the rules because they were in charge. They had the gold. And if you haven't left your parents, if you're still dependent upon them for your financial needs, then they still make the rules. And you haven't left their authority. And you need to do that. God says you have to do that. See, what happens with parents, as the kids begin to get older, parents' job changes from a manager to a consultant. You don't manage that son or daughter anymore. They're out of the nest. They're old. You just consult them. You have to cut that financial string, that purse string. You always honor your mom and dad. You do that until the day you die. Always honor. But you're not under their control. You're not under their roof. You have left them financially. But not only cutting the financial string, most of us would say, yeah, I can understand that. And that's not a hard thing for me to do. Let me tell you number two that's difficult for people to do. 60% of people in a study done don't cut this second string. And that's why they have lots of problems in their marriages and in their families and in their relationship with God. The second string is the emotional string. You have to leave your parents emotionally. You say, what does that mean, leave my parents emotionally? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute, but let me ask you a question to see if you have left. See, I don't want to tell you what it is until you start to really search your heart and see, has that happened with me? Do you have pictures of your parents up in your house? Do you talk to your parents, call them on the phone and talk to them on a regular basis? Number three, do you act differently around your parents? Act differently. I mean, do you get real quiet when you're around your parents? Do you get angry when you're around your parents? Do you revert back to a little kid when you're around your parents? My mother-in-law, when she would be around her parents, she would act like she was about 6 years old. She just reverted back to a little girl. See, if you don't have pictures of them up, if you don't call them on a regular basis, and if you are different when they're around, you know what that reveals? It reveals you haven't left emotionally. See, the emotional string is that string that says, Mom, Dad, I need your approval. Mom, Dad, I need you to be proud of me. I need your love. I need your acceptance. And kids are born with an innate need for that from Mom and Dad. And if they don't get it, it messes them up inside. And they live their whole life trying to get that approval. They want dad to say, I'm proud of you. They want dad to say, I love you. They want dad to say, you're wonderful. And God the Father knows that. He knows that we have that need. Before Jesus ever did any miracle, when he started his public ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. God the Father gave his Son affirmation, and we are born with a desire for our parents to affirm us. And if that doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen in a lot of instances, if it doesn't happen, it messes the kid up. And it hurts them emotionally. And they can live their whole lives trying to seek that approval from mom and dad. And you know what? You can look at certain ones, workaholics. Good example, workaholics. Now, this isn't true for every workaholic, but it's true for many workaholics. A workaholic is a workaholic because he is working for approval. So they work and work and work and work. It's misery. It's horrible. You don't cut that emotional string and you'll have problems. Everyone in this room knows about Ted Turner, billionaire Ted Turner. Ted Turner never got that affirmation from his dad. His father committed suicide when Ted was just a young man. Ted Turner worked and worked and worked and built this huge empire. Somebody asked him one time on an interview, said, Mr. Turner, if you could have anything, what would it be? What do you want? Anything at all that you could have that you can't buy for yourself, what would it be? And he said, I wish my dad could see what I've done. He had that hunger in his heart. I wish dad would be proud of me. I wish he'd say, son, I love you. I accept you. I am so proud of you. But he wasn't going to get it. His dad was dead. And some of you are wanting that from your parents, but you never got it when you were growing up. And you're 50 years old, and apart from a miracle of God, you're probably never going to get it. And some of you have parents who never gave that to you, and your parents are gone. They're dead. And you're still living, wanting that approval. You got to let that go. You got to cut that string. Our kids need our affirmation. They need to know that you love them. They need to know that you're proud of them just because they're yours, not because of what they do. I try and tell my daughters all the time, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Tell my wife, I'm so proud of you, to build them up. But if you didn't get that affirmation from your mom or your dad, and you know deep down you're desperately seeking that, you gotta leave. You gotta let that go so that you can be the husband, the wife, that God wants you to be. So you're not emotionally tied to your parents. You want to give you another good example of a person who's emotionally tied to his father, especially a son with a father? Problem with authority. Difficulty. I see that all the time. Somebody that can't stand authority. They just don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They can't work a job where they have a boss because they're always at odds with their boss. Why? Because their boss is the authority. And they don't like authority. Because dad was their authority figure, and dad left a bad taste in their mouth. Dad hurt them. Dad didn't affirm them. Dad might have walked out on them. Dad never had anything to do with them. And they have this anger toward dad, who was an authority figure, so they have difficulty with authority. And you can see that. What do you do about that? You let it go. And you have to forgive. See, Jesus said, if you don't forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. If there is a hurt in your heart because of something your parents did or did not do, failed to do, you got to release them. See, some of you are holding on. Yeah, but dad hurt me, mom hurt me, and I never got that love. I never felt like they really loved me. They never told me. They never just put me in their arms and their lap and said, son, I love you, daughter, I love you. And you're seeking that and you're hurt. You got to let that go. You got to get that out, because that will cause you to have a resentful heart, a bitter heart, and bitterness in your heart is a cancer of the soul. It'll eat your guts out, and it'll poison every relationship that you have. It'll poison your marriage. It'll poison your own family. You got to say, oh, God, I was hurt. God, I want you to heal me. God, I want to forgive. And I want to be able to cut that emotional string, to be able to leave my father and mother and to love them even though they made a lot of mistakes, to love them anyway. Maybe that's what you need to do today. I want to, just in the middle of my sermon, I want to have a time of prayer for you and for me, just to get things right with mom and dad, if we need to, in our hearts. Maybe your parents are dead, just get them right in your hearts. And maybe you had wonderful parents, and you just can thank God right now, but just close your eyes, talk to the Lord. Lord, we want to have great marriages and great families. Your word says to leave our father and mother. And Lord, if there's bitterness, if there's a wound caused by mom or by dad that is keeping us held back from being all you want us to be, Lord, help us to forgive. And Lord, just by faith right now, help different ones who are struggling with that. Help them to forgive. Lord, we release that to you. Wash it, cleanse it in your blood, remove it. Take that root of bitterness out if there's a root there, and help us to be honest about that. Lord, bring a change. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a great lesson today called Marriages That Sizzle. It's a lesson that'll help you take a lifeless marriage back to a place of passion and excitement. Pastor Jeff will be back in just a moment with some final words. Now, this month on From His Heart, we're focusing our attention on the relationship between men and women. Yes, women are from Mars and men are from Venus, as has often been said. And that can bring great joy to our lives, and it can bring great sorrow. And that's why Pastor Jeff Shreve has two important resources to offer you this month for your support to From His Heart. The first is the insightful series called Understanding the Sexes, God's Blueprint for Men and Women. And the other resource is a two-message set called Till Death Do Us Part, What God Says About Marriage and Family. These are 8 lessons total that are sure to give you the tools that you need to bring both of these planets closer together, not on a collision course, but in harmony. Again, both series available for your gift from His Heart this month. Call 866-40-BIBLE to get yours. Again, 866-40-BIBLE. Or go to fromhisheart.org. Again, the series Understanding the Sexes and the two-message set, Till Death Do Us Part. And know that when you support From His Heart, you are allowing us to reach millions around the world with the good news that Jesus is Lord. So thank you for all that you can do to help us this month. God bless you. Hey, before we go today, let's close out with a Real Hope Minute. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
A lady asked me one day, "My husband says he's a Christian, but he surely doesn't act like it. Hey, Pastor Jeff, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm discouraged. What am I supposed to do?" I told her this. First of all, you must remember that you can't change your husband. Only God can do that. You can only change you as you yield yourself to the Lord. Secondly, God sees and knows. He cares about your struggles with this, and He's going to help you. Thirdly, you can't allow yourself to get bitter at your husband, because that will only hurt you. So keep bringing the hurt and the anger and frustration to the Lord. And last of all, know that it is your main job as a wife to obey the Lord and respect your husband. Trust God to work on your husband and in your situation. It is in obedience to God's word where we find real hope.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us. And be sure to tune in to the From His Heart TV broadcast, seen in every city in America and in 182 countries around the world today on the Hillsong Channel. You can check our website for the time and channel in your area. And we trust you'll be here tomorrow for part 2 of Marriages That Sizzle. Join us then when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.